Coleman.
Good day. In Scrum, we have a product backlog, and on the product backlog, we have product backlog items. In Kanban, you don't necessarily need to have something like a product backlog, but a lot of teams would have them. And whatever start set you had in your Kanban board, you would have work items. Product backlog items in Scrum and work items or items in Kanban are similar in that they're both for generating value. So a product backlog item is to generate some kind of value. Our work item is to generate some kind of value. The value could be market, consumer, end user value, could be knowledge value, could be societal value, could be organizational value, might even be knowledge value in terms of learning, discovery, and so on. So it's not normal for product backlog items in Scrum or work items in Kanban to be basically subtasks, things that don't generate value in and of themselves. So I'm talking here about items that actually generate value. And once product backlog items are refined, or once work items in Kanban are maybe right-sized or optionally refined or full-kitted, if you use full-kitting, you would tend to see some subtasks on the work item. The way I love to visualize subtasks on a work item is to simply have a kind of a tick box list of all the things that need to be done in order for this work item to be finished, similarly in Scrum for this product backlog item to be finished. The thing is that in Scrum, there's this concept of definition of done, and it causes confusion for some people. Some people conflate definition of done with acceptance criteria. So if we take, for example, a product backlog item in Scrum or a work item in Kanban, and imagine there's some subtasks on that item, subtasks that would identify what needs to be done in order to finish this item. Those subtasks might include acceptance criteria, essentially identify how would we know that we've actually done this right. A lot of people might use statements from behavior-driven development, even though it's designed for software. It's a nice way of describing acceptance criteria. I will deal with that in a different show. So you wouldn't say that you've actually got all your work done with that item unless you've actually met your acceptance criteria. Acceptance criteria would be unique to the product backlog items because you'd be saying this is how we would test essentially how we've satisfied the desirement, the want, the need, the problem that we're trying to solve, or the opportunity that we're trying to avail of. Definition of done is like the checklist for how we do things around here. So how do we know that we're done? In Scrum, the definition of done is absolutely central. When you're looking at the increment of the sprint review, knowing that the team is following a definition of done, and if there's a number of teams on the product that all teams are following the same definition of done, the team of teams are working together to deliver something that can be, we can get feedback on at the sprint review and feedback from the market and so on by maybe having some releases to the market. The definition of done in Scrum helps to improve transparency because when we're looking at the increment, we know what we're looking at. There's a kind of a base level of assumptions that we know that some kind of quality standards be met, and we don't need to be double checking, if you like, that all these things have been done. In Scrum, there's a definition of done, and it's very useful for all sorts of reasons, improving transparency when, if you are doing estimation, I did another episode on that, you're comparing apples with apples instead of apples with oranges. And so we have the same kind of checklist that we're thinking about. But the definition of done is the same for the entire product backlog typically. So it would be something that you wouldn't have to repeat on every single product backlog item in Scrum or on every single work item on a Kanban board, because we know this is how we do work around here. This is how we do things, so we don't have to repeat it on the card. We would have the subtasks on the card, for example, or we would have acceptance criteria that are unique to the work item, product backlog item on the card, but we wouldn't be repeating the definition done everywhere because this is just how we do work here. And so we're going to talk about an example shortly, and I don't know anything about recruitment in HR. and people and so on, but go and have a go at trying to explain in a non-software sense how you might come up with a definition of done for a particular team. One thing I just want to address is that once you've got work in the system, if work becomes deprecated in some shape or form, or made obsolete, or it's withdrawn, or it's cancelled, I could treat them as similar. If the work is cancelled, I don't like to see the product backlog item in Scrum or the work item in Kanban just disappearing from the board. That would reduce transparency. So what I prefer to see is that the item is moved to the last column on the Scrum board, if it's Scrum, or a Kanban board, if it's Kanban, probably a done column or something like that. But you'd mark it as cancelled. So we know that it's been cancelled. We don't like work that's disappearing in Kanban or even in Scrum. And we don't like work moving backwards in a Kanban board. We call that the flowbacks. Because what's the cycle time? Is it the first time it went through or the 10th time it went through? So we don't like work items going backwards on the board. We talked about that on another show. So one thing I will say, though, is that it's possible that some of your acceptance criteria might become obsolete. So some of those tick items that you might have on your work item in Kanban or your product backlog item in Scrum, they might become obsolete, in which case they could disappear, although I would probably want to put some note on it to say that they have been deprecated. I probably wouldn't want them completely disappearing. But you wouldn't need to do anything dramatic with those. So in Scrum, you've got a product backlog with product backlog items that are delivering value. And once refined, they might be broken down into subtasks. You don't have to use subtasks, but you might break them down into subtasks. So we improve transparency in the team about what work needs to be done to deliver that item. And that item that might include subtasks that is that are essentially acceptance criteria, or subtasks that contribute to verifying that the acceptance criteria have been satisfied. In Kanban, very similar. You can have subtasks on the item, except Scrum has a definition of done as a core concept. Kanban, not so much, although we will come back to how Kanban potentially deals with that situation. How do you make sure that you are comparing apples with Kanban? So when you're doing a definition of done in Scrum, it's useful to consider two different categories of quality standard, if you like, when you're assessing how we do work around here. The organization can set the standard. I've done that in the past, and it was very useful because the teams didn't have to reinvent how they're going to, for example, comply with banking regulations. That was already determined by the organization. And so teams were able to inherit the definition of done. But on a product group, I would expect there to be the same definition of done, more or less, with some odd exceptions for differences in terms of the kind of work that they do and so on. But the two considerations that I would have, one of them would be product quality considerations, and the other one would be technical standards. So technical standards would be like how we do our work around here. What are the things that we do? Whereas product quality considerations would be more to do with considering the customer, the end user, in quality as well. So for example, if you were building a car, there's a thing called an NCAP rating, so it's like safety rating of the car. The car probably needs to comply with that rating. It probably needs to comply with various international standards to do with automobile manufacturing and so on. And so they would be product quality considerations. There'll probably be other considerations as well to do with carbon emissions and things like that, and the country laws and so on and so forth. The technical standards would be more about when we build this car, these are the things that we do when we build the car, we do this. So it's clear, these are the things we do, and we're essentially trying to avoid taking shortcuts. We're trying to avoid a situation where the quality of the car is less than it should be. So we would tend to document the technical standards for how we build the car, and then you'd have product quality considerations as well in terms of, okay, the engineers, the various people who are involved in building that car, they also need to comply with various customer end user market considerations in terms of product quality as well, like international standards and so on. With recruitment, I don't know much about recruitment, but imagine you are recruiting people. There'll probably be a number of things that you need to take into account when you're recruiting people. In the definition of done, what's our checklist for how we recruit people? Maybe one of the first things we do is we have a conversation with the hiring manager. And maybe we ask them to help us to come up with some kind of a job specification. As we all know, though, the job isn't really the job specification. It's often the conversation around the job specification. So understanding the context within which the job spec has been done would be another little thing that needs to be done. And then you would have, say, for example, you might need to go to the market, or you might maybe you go internal first. Maybe you have to, first of all, give internal people an option to apply for a job. Maybe that's something in your organization. We advertise it internally. We see what kind of response we get. If the response is not adequate, we may decide to go to an external market. We may then decide to deal with some external suppliers who are our preferred suppliers in terms of getting good candidates for us and making sure that we're not flooding the market with people being asked to, by six different recruitment firms, you know, to apply for the same company, trying to streamline that. Maybe then there's some kind of agreement in terms of how we advertise for the role. Maybe the suppliers provide some CVs, for example, or maybe people don't use CVs anymore. Maybe use LinkedIn profiles, or however people do video CVs, whatever they do these days. We gather profiles, basically. And then maybe there's some screening to see, are there some people that seem to, just from first look, do they seem to meet our criteria? And essentially, we might shortlist candidates. We might do some maybe first interviews to do some further screening to see whether, it depends on the organization. Maybe you go for culture first and competency later. Maybe you go for attitude first, competency later, or competency first, attitude later. Depends on what you're doing in your organization. For me personally, I go for attitude. And then we can always develop the competency later, but leave that subject for another day. Then maybe you need to have some subsequent rounds of interviews. Then you probably have to make a selection, recommendation, make a selection. But even when the selection is made for the preferred candidate, there's no guarantee the person is going to join. They may have other offers as well, for example, or maybe they're not really that interested, or not yet might be their answer. So we might need to make an offer. And then that offer might be contingent on some reference checks and maybe some health check and maybe some financial checks. Maybe the next thing is the person needs to sign the contract, they accept the contract, agree a start date. But even then, we might not be finished because maybe in our country, we have regulations in terms of doing security checks on people that we hire. It might be very important for our organization that people don't have financial problems, they don't have a criminal record or whatever. Maybe we make allowances, I don't know, but organizations would have some kind of standards around that. And essentially then the person might have already started, but it's possible that they fail some of these checks, in which case there might be some rework required, or we might need to revisit what we do with the candidate. Then there's probably a whole probation period and so on and so forth. So you can come up with a list of things that need to be done for recruitment. And what I find very interesting about this is when I talk to a team or a product group about definition of done, we think it's going to be an easy topic. But the thing is that people have differing opinions about what that list should contain. And that's where it gets really interesting. And so we need to agree what that list is. That list can add up quite a bit. What I prefer is that list is what we can actually do, what we do, not what we think we should be doing. Don't get me wrong, I'd love to do what we should be doing. But I much prefer a situation where a team is respecting a list, a checklist for how we do things around here, respects it, so then you can continuously improve. But if you already have kind of a list of things that you need to do that actually you can't achieve because you don't have the skills, you don't have the tools or whatever is restricting us, then we can't really improve at all because actually we're not even complying with the one that we already have. So that kind of checklist for how we do things around here in Scrum is known as the definition of done. And that recruitment case would be anytime that we recruit, this is what we do. Boom, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. If there are some things that are optional, we will call them out as optional. Or we would be clear about in which cases we would do certain things. In software examples, for example, I just talked about recruitment, but in software, you might not do performance testing for every single item. You might decide as needed. Well, what does as needed mean? You might need to talk about that in the team. So you might decide, do we actually need to go to external suppliers at all? Or do we just go directly to external and maybe the internal is optional? So these are things you need to talk about. What's our minimum list of things that we need to do? What's the minimum things that we need to do? And what are the technical standards? And what are some of the product quality considerations? Now, just considering the list that I rolled out there, some of those items were how we do work around here. Some of them were more to do with product quality, and we probably need to think of a few more. So one of the things that were product quality, for example, were what kind of checks we do on the candidate, what kind of financial checks, what kind of criminal record checks, what kind of security checks, which suppliers we deal with, all these kind of things, they would be product quality considerations. But there would be some additional ones. For example, I'm pretty sure that if you've got a fairly professional organization, you probably care about your brand. I think most organizations do. And so we need to make sure that whatever communication we have going out there complies with our brand. The job specification, do we have a company font? Is there a certain style that we use in how we write documents? Is the company logo correct? Is it just shown the right way? Are we complying with our style guide within the company in terms of how documentation is sent out? Are we going to the right suppliers? We talked about that. But also, where is the role being advertised? Those places where the positions have been advertised, do they tie in with our brand? There could be other considerations as well that are to do with product quality. There could be some national standards, some international standards. Certainly, there'll be data privacy, data protection, information security, making sure that people's data is protected and that we respect that we're essentially not getting the company into trouble. So when you have a definition of done, it's crucial that you come up with a checklist for all the items you backlog in the case of recruitment. Anytime we do recruitment, this is what we do. Dumpa, 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 dum. We do all of these things. And the two lenses that I gave you, technical standards and product quality considerations, they're the two lenses that you can use to help you to understand whether you've forgotten anything. So that's in Scrum. You have a definition of done. It's your bare minimum standard. It's, don't get me wrong, it's a good standard. But when we look at the increment, which is valuable, useful, and usable according to the 2020 Scrum Guide, then it means that when we're looking at it, we know that all these things have been done. We, don't get me wrong, you can trust and verify. You need to double check as well. And a good Scrum Master, I think, would check without causing any risks to the self-management of the team. I think it's sensible every now and again to make sure, are we respecting our definition of done? I think that's an exercise a Scrum team should carry out every so often to make sure that not only are we continually improving our definition of done and expanding it over time, improving our quality, but also we're respecting the one we already have. Because as I mentioned, continual improvement is going to be difficult if you're not respecting the one you already have. So doing that exercise can take a number of hours. It can take 4 hours. If this is a concept that is alien to you, if you've never done this before, coming up with this list for this kind of minimum list for how we do things around here that we don't have to repeat on every product backlog item in Scrum or in Kanban, if you use in Scrum or Kanban, for example, that we don't have to repeat in every work item, it's going to be very useful to, you don't have to repeat things all over the place. Now, one of the things I love about Kanban is it has a kind of a definition of done through the back door, in my opinion. So on a Kanban board, typically you've got some columns. And so you might have, for example, a column where you try to understand the role that we're trying to fill. You might have another column that's to do with screening candidates or sourcing candidates, and then maybe screening candidates, and then maybe offer and contract. And then you might have another one, which is final checks and so on. So you could have 4 or 5 steps on a recruitment Kanban board. You can have as many as you want, but 4 or 5 steps that I can think of off the top of my head. And each of those columns can have either entry criteria or exit criteria. Now, I find this a much easier way to do a definition of done for non-software, because if you have a Kanban board and you've got these columns, you're not trying to think of all the big checklists for how we do things around here. You're basically looking at a container of how we do things around here. And you're looking at, for example, when I try to understand the role, what are the things that we do? What are the things we do when we try to understand the role? What do we do when we're trying to source candidates? What do we try to do when we are screening candidates? What do we do when we're making an offer and doing some final checks? What are we doing when we do the post-startup checks and so on? And that way, you break up your definition of done. And so your definition of done essentially is the sum of the exit criteria from the columns on your board. But you don't even have to think of it that way, because in Kanban, there you can have exit criteria on your columns. And so when a card moves from one column to the next, and people ask me, well, is that one really allowed to go from that column to that other column? And I say, does it satisfy your exit criteria? They're your exit criteria. So what does it say in your exit criteria? Oh, yeah, we didn't do that. So then it can't move, because you said this is how we do things around here. And the exit criteria on that Kanban board column say we should have done X, Y, and Z, or you didn't do X, Y, and Z. So it needs to stay where it is, unless you have some conversation about reviewing your policies. Definition of done is kind of there through the back door in Kanban as well. We do want to improve transparency in Kanban by not having items moving to the right-hand side of the board when actually they should have stayed on the left-hand side of the board. And we don't want cards moving from right to left. We want them to stay where they are until they're ready to go to the next column. And we can be clear about that by having exit criteria on each column. So in the definition workflow in Kanban, there's kind of an expectation there that you probably would have exit criteria for the in-progress columns. You'd be clear as a team about what needs to be satisfied before you move to those different columns. But the additional lens that I would offer to you, a hat tip to the Scrum guys, is that when you're looking at the exit criteria for each column, don't just think about the technical standards for how we do things around here. Also consider the product quality considerations. So are we complying with our brand? Are we complying with the national law, the international law? Are we complying with data protection? Whatever is relevant in terms of customer, end user, market considerations for quality, because quality cannot really be just decided by the team or the Kanban system members in the case of Kanban. It needs to also have some consideration for what customers and end users in the market is expecting. Because otherwise, we're just producing something that we think is great, but actually our customers and users aren't satisfied. My opinion is that product quality considerations should absolutely be considered when you're reviewing exit criteria on your Kanban board. So I hope you found that useful. That is a definition of done, mostly for non-software today. And we talked about acceptance criteria as well. And I'll just look at some comments. Thank you. So got a comment from Mike. If acceptance criteria become obsolete, then maybe have a conversation with anyone that may be affected. Yes, absolutely. To improve transparency, my preference would be for the acceptance criteria not to just disappear, Mike. Maybe is there a way of putting it in straight through font or some tag or some comment or some conversation or writing on the back of the card, that is the physical card, that we did have these acceptance criteria. We had a conversation. We decided not to proceed with them, so we've left them out. But I wouldn't just have them disappearing completely, Mike. And I think you'd be comfortable with that as well. To be fair, let me know if that addresses that consideration, Mike. Barry Coleman, can definition of done be created in a template form or differ depending on the environment, for example, development, production? In Scrum, Barry, the definition of done is for an increment that should be valuable, useful, and usable. In the advanced Scrum Master class at scrum.org, we do a little exercise where you look at different steps in your process to deliver a done increment. And in your case, Barry, you might have, for example, development, some kind of testing, so patch production, basically. The ideal definition of done would be, if it's software, would be that the increment is releasable. But what's the difference between potentially releasable and releasable? I'm not sure there's a key difference because it says releasable, it doesn't mean you have to release. So it needs to be in a condition where you can release it, basically. So if it's software, it needs to be releasable. Generally speaking, it needs to be valuable, useful, and usable. How useful is it? How usable is it if it's not ready to go into production, if it's still some earlier stage? However, what you can do in your team, I would prefer if you were honest as a team about what done means for your team. Scrum would prefer that you deliver an increment that's releasable, that's ready to go into production. Maybe, just maybe, the capability of your team or the level of skill available in your team only allows you to even just get to, for example, the test environment, or maybe even just leaving the development environment to go to testing. Now, that wouldn't satisfy the definition of done of a valuable criteria of valuable, useful, and usable from a Scrum point of view. But personally, I would prefer that you had a definition of done that you respected and that you then continually improved than pretending you want to have it ready for production and actually there's no chance you could do that. However, I want to give it a little bit of a caveat here, because when you're deciding the length of a sprint, I did another episode on the length of the sprint. A really important consideration is how long does it take your team to deliver a done increment? So if it takes you 3 weeks to deliver something that's ready to go into production, maybe your sprint length should be 3 weeks. A lot of teams are deciding a sprint length of 1 week or 2 weeks because they heard that's the most popular sprint length and they go with that, but actually they don't have the capability to deliver something that's valuable, useful, and usable in that time frame. So they actually need a longer sprint to do that. Now, so I would prefer to say, how long does it take you to deliver a done increment, as in valuable, useful, and usable? Make your sprint longer so the team has the capability to deliver that. If there are some other issues, Barry, in terms of what's limiting the capability of getting it. For example, I don't know whether you're using physical environments or cloud environments. You've got cloud environments. I'm hoping that your team has looked at maybe the continuous delivery book by Jez Humble and Dave Farley and so on, where they talked about having no drama in terms of that actually, and the state of DevOps report says actually that there is more safety in having more frequent releases. It's actually a myth that we have safer releases when we have less releases. It's actually safer when you do it more often because you get better at doing it. Also, when you're doing it more often, you have to, particularly if you're using cloud environments, you would have to script the environment setup and teardown, and you just change the variables for whichever environment it's for, so that your software, in your case, I think, is moving through the different environments. So I would hope that the definition of done for your team, Barry, would be, for example, if it's software, I'm just guessing from your question, that maybe there's some, you've done the code, you've written some automated unit tests, you've got it, you're using maybe trunk-based development, I hope you're not using branching, you've done some kind of code review that I mentioned, that you've done different levels of testing on the development environment. Then the continuous integration server has to run your automated unit tests, and it's run a script to move it into the next environment, say the closer to production kind of testing environment. Then a bigger battery test runs in that environment because that's closer to production, and then more tests are run there. And then if the build breaks, it's like there's a fire in the building, you treat it as an emergency. I often hear people saying, we've got continuous integration, we have Jenkins. And then when the build breaks, no one does anything. So that's not continuous integration as a behavior. It's not like you just installed something. And so like the question I would ask back, Barry, is does your team have the skill to write those scripts so that the software moves from one environment to the next automatically, almost no drama? And maybe the only manual step is where someone decides, is this going into production? And somebody can turn on a switch or a feature toggle or something, and they can make it. I'm not saying that's the way to go, but that's something you could consider. So can a definition of done be created in template form? Yes. A lot of good teams do that. Some teams, what they do, Barry, actually, is even though I said earlier, you don't need to repeat all the subtasks for the definition of done, how we do workaround here on the work item in Kanban or on the product backlog item in Scrum. Some teams, what they do is they actually have a tick box item on their work item or their product backlog item for every item in the definition of done. So it doesn't done until you've ticked all of those off. Some teams do that and find that very useful. It improves the transparency more because it's giving you more kind of social proof, if you like, that we are actually complying with our own definition of done. So what I would do is maybe ask your Scrum Master to attend an advanced Scrum Master class like PSM2, for example, at scrum.org. And they can do the definition of done exercise. And you can also do the exercise as well. That person could do that exercise back in your company. And then you could decide, okay, what really is our definition of done? Are we just in development? Are we in close to production testing? Are we ready to go into production? Where are we really? And what do we need to do to try and expand that over time? It's going to be crucial, Barry, that you respect whatever definition of done that you have in order that you can continually improve after that. Let me know, Barry, if I've addressed that, or if there's any other questions, feel free to ask another question. Mike, what do we think of organizational definition of done? Mike, I only did it once, but it was very effective because it meant that people didn't have to spin wheels trying to figure out how to comply with financial laws, for example, in that context that I was in. Found it very useful. The teams just inherited that as a minimum. They can then amplify that, of course, with whatever is relevant for their product. I found it very useful, and it improves the transparency because it means that anybody in the company that's looking at the increment, whatever product they're on, they know that it's complied with this organizational definition of done. So I found it very useful, Mike, but I've only done it once, sadly. And then as a follow-up comment, organizational definition of done can be extended, but yeah, absolutely it can be, and probably should be, because if it's software in your case, they might be using different technology stacks, and there might be some things that are relevant for particular technology stacks that aren't relevant. So absolutely, I would say. Lots of things I love about the 2020 Scrum Guide, even though I'm a less friendly Scrum trainer and less of disconnected themselves in the 2020 Guide, I actually like the 2020 Guide. And one of the things I love about it is be explicit about the developers are committing to the definition of done. And there's one definition of done for the entire product, one product backlog, one product owner, one definition of done, and it's a commitment to the increment. So when we show an increment at the sprint review, we know what we're looking at. So there are all the questions and the comments I had for today. I hope you found that useful. If you would like to submit any ideas, I'd be delighted to feature your question or your comments. Not a problem at all. So you can just contact me, or you can just leave a voicemail at anchor.fm/dayflow/message. Okay, over and out. Thank you very much.